Today's Daily DVR is, of course, brought to you by our awesome sponsor, CuffLinks.com. All right, baby, listen. Valentine's Day is only 3 days away. There's still time. You can order something, have something sent out from CuffLinks.com, and you can use that code OB30 to get 30% off Oxen Bull. Fantastic stuff. You can follow them on Facebook. You can also follow them on Twitter, CuffLinks.com on Facebook, and you can find them. And you can find out about all these awesome codes like OB30 to get 30% off Oxen Bull, or use our code DVR20 to get 20% off at any time, no minimum. Let's get on with the show. Today is Monday, February 11, 2019, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm recovering. I know on Friday, put out an old show from the Filmless days from 2010 with Scotty Six and Heath, and I re-listened to it, and it was so fun. It was awesome to hear a lot of 1989 stuff. And I want to try, Scott had asked Heath and I to kind of go over those films. And he actually, you follow Scott on Twitter, Scott Six, he did a nice list and he kind of did the work for us. So I think that's probably in the offering in the future that Heath Solo and I do that. And if we did do that, you could go to dvrpodcast.com and find out about it. Or you could email us at dvrpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on Twitter. So I got to get that stuff in there, right? Well, today, I was supposed to have my main man, DJ Timothy Hinesworth, come on, and we were going to talk about the Alliance of American Football. We were going to talk a little bit about Newbie Doo sent me an email about a documentary about a DJ from her home country, and DJ had seen that movie, and I watched a bit of it. We were going to talk about it, and we were also going to talk about a little True Detective, but this is what happened. I woke up this morning, and as happens sometimes, I didn't have any internet because every house after me lost their internet about 2 weeks ago, but not me, so it was fine. But today they had to reconnect it because the line is in front of my house and I didn't have internet. So I'm just recording the show now, and DJ was indisposed, so he was not available. So I'm going to take this on. I'm going to take the mantle on myself. And I'm going to do this show today, and I might save the newbie email because I think it's important. It was a real great opportunity to talk with DJ. He was really touched by the documentary, and he appreciated what it was about. It dealt with a lot of mental health issues and some real stuff, and it's supposed to be a great doc, and it'll give me a chance to watch the whole thing as well. So I'm going to save that newbie, but I do want to talk about the Association of American Football. And then there is a bunch of news. There was just an announcement. It just happened. This is like maybe the biggest TV announcement ever. Hulu is developing a series based on the book The Devil in the White City, Murder, Magic, and Madness at the Fair That Changed America by Eric Larson. Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese will executive produce the project along with Stacey Sher, Rick Yorn. You remember the singer? That's his brother. Emma Koskoff, Jennifer Davison, Paramount Television will produce. The Devil in the White City tells a true story of two men, an architect and a serial killer whose fates were forever linked by the Chicago World Fair. Daniel Burnham, a brilliant and fastidious architect, racing to make his mark on the world, and Henry H. Holmes, a handsome and cunning doctor who fashioned his own pharmaceutical murder castle on the fairgrounds. There's a Netflix doc about this. This is really awesome. This is the latest chapter in a long history of the development of the book. DiCaprio acquired the rights nearly a decade ago. Scorsese came on to direct in 2015 with Billy Ray, great writer, set to write the script. This is really cool. So, wow. I mean, do we really even have to have the discussion about television and film, streaming and network? What is the top? It's quite obvious that at this point in time, you either work with Paul Thomas Anderson or a fantastic film director and make a top-level film, or you can be on streaming, other films, network. It's kind of all the same now, right? I mean, and I would actually put streaming, I kind of think streaming is above the networks now. Look at who's starring on network shows. I mean, Damon Wayans Jr. making the rounds, all these. I love Damon Wayans Jr. He was great on New Girl. But what stars, I mean, when you compare this, the people who are working in streaming, Julia Roberts now, Leonardo DiCaprio, all these, all the directors, Soderbergh, Spike Lee, it's just not even comparable. And the only way the networks survive, and I mean, this is America, right? They're benefiting from an antiquated ad reporting system that is completely faulted. There is no way that Nielsen ever had accurate ratings, and everybody knows it, but they have no choice, so they just accept it. And when Nielsen tries to tell you the difference between a share and the people who watched and plus three, and this is the only people who know what watch is your cable company or the streaming. That's it. The networks have no idea how many people are watching their shows, neither do cable. And when John Landgraf recently at the Television Critics Association happened last week, and I'm actually working on trying to get a guest to talk about that with me after it dies down, because I know someone who was there and it was very busy, so I'm waiting on that. So I'm not going to talk too much about that now, but that was a very interesting thing that happened last week, and you can follow the TCA on Twitter or whatever, or look it up and find out about it. And John Landgraf from FX usually gives a kind of state of the union. He really gives the real state of the union is at the upfronts. This is the winter. But he was arguing about Netflix, and he was saying, there's no way 40 million people watched you. We have actual data. We can say that this many people... And I hear other people talking about this. Dan Feinberg, who I really respect, has a new podcast called The Five, where he and Leslie Goldberg talk about TV. It's fantastic. I suggest it to anyone that's a fan of TV. I love them. But they're kind of, Dan said, I think Netflix is right. And I agree with Dan. And I don't think, I think Landgraf is like, really, buddy, how do you know how many people watched? You have the plus three from where? Where do you have that from? From Nielsen? From the cable? Where are you getting that data that you're telling me Netflix? Because your data shows how many people tune in weekly to watch your show and how many came back. But all Netflix has is the direct up to the second information and data of when someone paused, rewound, which episode they watched, when they watched it, where they watched it. Did they turn the volume on their TV up? I mean, you can't compete. So I understand Landgraf is saying they're talking about a different metric, but his metric is faulted because that's just not accurate. Okay. I mean, I have not worked for FX or anything like that, but I've worked in the industry and I've seen Nielsen data and I've talked to people from Nielsen. I've talked to people who were Nielsen homes who used to fill out those little books. I know I interviewed them actually in like 1999 when they were trying to figure out, oh, there's going to be TV on the internet, webisodes, right? When people used to have to make that delineation, like it's something, it's content, who cares? It's a delivery system. People are so old school. They were trying to figure it out. How are we going to, if people watch this, they were like, this is going to be a new wave of data where we can find, but guess what happened? Why would anybody give that to them? They are a company. Nielsen is a company. It is not a public service. They collect data and sell it to networks and advertisers so they can agree on rates for TV. This is the oldest con game in all of the entertainment industry. This is worse than theaters reporting how much money they made. And it's just not true. So I think what really is true is follow the money. And where's the money going? It's all going to Hulu, Netflix. Disney's is going to put way more money into their streaming service than they are into The Rookie on ABC starring Nathan Fillion. Okay, which is like literally the highest new drama on their network. And it's a kind of a fun cop show with Nathan Fillion and no one else that you'd ever recognize. And Nathan Fillion, I mean, we all love him because it's Serenity and all that, but this dude is like he's not like A-list, you know? Like, what do you remember the big movie that Nathan Fillion was in or the big TV show? No. It's what, Castle? So it's very interesting to me that we still have these conversations and people still stick with these frameworks because as it is in life, people are hesitant to move on, right? And that's understandable to me, okay? Especially when millions of dollars are at stake. But if you're going to tell me that 40 million people sampled an episode of You, which is all that Netflix said, and also an equal number of people watched Sex Education, I believe them. I believe them way more than I believe any cable or broadcaster. Because they do not have direct access to data. John Landcraft at FX is not getting direct cable box data from Comcast and Cablevision and all these different companies. You know, no, they're not. He's still going through somewhat classical, even though Nielsen supposedly, you know, oh, they count plus three and DVR and all. Look, I have DirecTV. Do you think DirecTV participates in that? Why would they? They would have to pay them. So it's the industry and, you know, there's aspects of it that I'm not touching upon. I can't cover everything and it's just me talking here. But I think it's a fair perspective to say that when you wake up on a Monday morning and Martin Scorsese is making a new movie is reuniting De Niro and Pesci on Netflix. And then he's making a series with Leonardo DiCaprio on Hulu. Why is that not a movie? Do you think about that? Why do they choose to make it a series and not a movie? Because it doesn't star Captain America. Because it doesn't star Vin Diesel or The Rock. These movies don't make money. Okay, a serial killer movie with Leonardo DiCaprio is going to win awards, but it's got in football and in the draft, they often talk about the floor and the ceiling, and they say a player has a low ceiling, right? Which means he's never going to be the best, right? But he's got a high floor, which means he is guaranteed to not be a terrible player, but he's never going to be a great player. Okay. And I think that when you look at this now and you see the floor and the ceiling, the ceiling to Netflix and Hulu and all these types of things, as far as the amount of money they're going to generate for the distributor is way higher than it would be at a theater because you don't have to put in the marketing. The relentless worldwide international marketing that, first of all, I don't even think is necessary for a film. They're doing it wrong. They spend way too much money. And why do they spend too much money? Because the largest portion of it is TV advertising, which is based on the bullshit Nielsen system, right? It all feeds into each other. And again, the floor for a movie is... there is no floor. It could be Howard the Duck. It could be Ishtar, you know? So you don't know. Even if it's a great movie, it could bomb. But is Netflix going to suffer? Is Hulu going to suffer if they don't get as many new subscribers? Or because are they even reporting that? They're owned by 15 different companies, you know, soon to be mostly Disney. But it's a much different world that they're dealing with. So this news to me was worth talking about and kind of starting the show with and talking with at length because it's groundbreaking. You know, in today's world, we love to call everybody a genius, right? Oh, they're a genius. Oh my God. You know, and everything is, oh, it's terrible. You know, we're very reactionary. That's okay. My fault. We all do that. We're human. This is not little news. Okay. Anyone who's downplaying this, and I'm sure there's already people on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Now, it's not, you know, we don't know that everything's set, but if they announced it, if Hulu announced it, they're making it. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't. And unless it has to do with Disney and the money that's coming in, but like if it was Netflix, it would probably already be casting. And, you know, this is huge news. I don't know how you could have anything bigger than Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese instead of, you know, working together on their, what would it be, sixth or seventh film together? They're going to make it into a TV series on Hulu? That tells you that the world has changed. And anyone who wants to hold on to that old world or even debate is just wrong. The debate is over. Streaming won, because guess what? There's no difference. It's just content and a delivery system, right? The delivery system won. You pay one person and you get all this. You get a whole new television. Netflix is a new television. Hulu is a new cable, a television, you know? And I don't know. I mean, I still have DirecTV. I'm lucky enough that I pay like not a lot of money for it because I'm obsessive and I call them up and I constantly get them to take money off of it. And I like the NFL Sunday Ticket. But if you asked me, I could probably list maybe 10 shows that I wouldn't be able to see through another streaming platform or something. So we are getting to that point where the rubber is going to hit the road and there's going to be weird things are going to happen, I feel. I wouldn't be surprised to see Netflix at some point have a cable channel. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, and you think that sounds weird, but because, again, it's taking your mind away from, it's like podcasting, right? It's like podcasting and radio. It's the same thing. There's no difference. It's just content. It's a show. How long is it? 20 minutes, an hour? You're listening to someone talk. If I go into an app and I hit a button in one app and I go into a different button and hit, there's no difference. It's how you communicate that to the public. And the networks are really not even trying, you know, they're just like CBS is just kind of trusting that people over 50 or 60 who are dying, by the way, CBS is losing audience because people die. That's how CBS loses audience. you know, it's going to change. So this is really interesting to me and it kind of got me excited. And I'm sad that DJ's not here to talk to me, but I'm glad that it gave me the opportunity to address this. And I'd like to get, you know, I think this is something that Justin and I should dive into. I haven't done a pod with Justin. I miss that guy. I want to do some talking with him. And of course, Justin and I are going to be talking about a little Game of Thrones stuff because don't forget, people, Podcast Winterfell, check it out. We are getting ready. We're still in the throes of True Detective and Heath Snowlow and I will be back this week. But Podcast Winterfell is going strong and we got a lot planned. We got to put in a little YouTube. Who knows? I'm trying to figure out a way to make the call-in show. I want to do a video call-in show, but I don't really know if you can do that or people want to do it. You know, I want to do a talk show show, but it's on YouTube and we hit a button, someone join. Hey, how you doing? Bam, bam. You know, I want to try to do something like that, try to mix it and match it, but we'll see. I'm working on a few different things and Justin's going to help me out. We're going to have a lot of fun. All right. That was awesome. So let me talk a little bit about cufflinks.com. And then we'll come back, talk a little bit about the Association of American Football, some more news, and that'll probably be it today. But hey, listen, if you have thoughts about this or about television in general and what's happening, I'd love to hear your thoughts about what you said I said, because I think that there's a lot of people who work for larger places like, you know, Deadline, Hollywood Report, and I'm not, you know, naming names. I respect a lot of these people. But it might be kind of hard for them to go against the thing that keeps them at work, you know? It's kind of like access. A lot of people on the Twitter like to pretend like they're a fan and they work for a company and they get access through that company. You're not a fan. You have a job. You are getting paid for it. So, you know, it's that same kind of thing. I'm just an independent dude, you know? So that's my opinion. I like to hear your opinion. I know we've got a lot of listeners that are cord cutters and I might be going that way. I don't know. I've thought about it recently, writing down every single thing I watch on TV and where I get it, and then seeing how I could get it and adding and doing it as a kind of project. I might do something like that. Maybe I'll make it part of the podcast. Who knows? Anyway, all right. I'm having fun. I'm getting moving. Let's go to the break. All right. Cufflinks.com/DVR. Go over cufflinks.com. And I'm looking at their Facebook page right now. Final day to ship for Valentine's Day. Ox and Bull items would make the perfect gift. 30% off OB30. This is some beautiful stuff, man. Wow. New brand on our site, Beltology, a departure from ordinary woven styles, which stretch and lose their fit over time. Each one of our belts are handcrafted in the USA with resilient flex that adjusts to perfectly fit. These are awesome belts. I want to get one of these belts. Check it out, Beltology. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR, look up Beltology, or you could use code OB30 and get 30% off Ox and Bull. Today's the last day for shipping, baby. Valentine's Day, get that in there. Cufflinks.com. Thank you, Cufflinks. With us again in February. Going strong. Cufflinks.com/DVR. All right. Thank you, Cufflinks. Let's talk a little bit about the Alliance of American Football. I think that's how I'm going to close it out today. Maybe I'll have a chance to talk about this with someone else. I'd love to have DJ come on and talk. Maybe Heath Snowlow if he checks some of it out. So if you don't know, now you know. The Alliance of American Football is a new football league, and it started on Saturday. It was broadcast on CBS National at 4:30 on both Saturday. On Sunday, I should say, it was on the NFL Network. Now, if you're a football fan, you have heard that there are two new leagues coming out. The XFL is coming back. This is the gimmicky league that Vince McMahon from the WWE runs. It's going to be hyper-masculinized. In your face, like all this wrestling stuff. I must admit, I am not the audience for this. I will probably tune in for the XFL just to see what it is, but I have absolutely zero hope that anything Vince McMahon or wrestling is involved in is going to appeal to me, because that's just not me. You know, I mean, hey, if you're a listener and you're into that stuff, you see it a different way than I do. I totally accept that. To me, it's just not my thing. You know, it just doesn't interest me. You know, I don't really get into like the fighting and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm already 6'4", 250. I'm big enough, people. I have that in my life. I don't need all this big man stuff. I'm already a big man. But I don't have much hope for the XFL. But I did have hope for this. The Alliance of American Football is a professional football league founded by Charlie Ebersol. That's Dick Ebersol, the famous producer, NBC, sports, entertainment, everything. And Bill Polian, NFL background, general manager, fantastic career. It opened for play February 9th, a couple days ago, 1 week following the Super Bowl, right? The AAF consists of 8 centrally owned and operated teams, which means the league owns the teams. There are no owners, okay? All teams except Salt Lake are located in cities on or south of the 35th parallel, and all teams except Birmingham are located in metropolitan areas that have at least one major professional sports franchise, all right? Of the 8 teams in the league, all but Arizona and Atlanta are located in markets lacking an NFL team. So, what does that tell you? There are Atlanta Legends, Birmingham Iron, Memphis Express, Orlando Apollos, Arizona Hotshots, Salt Lake Stallions, San Antonio Commanders, and San Diego Fleet. All right. So, I gave you the background. I read you something from Wikipedia. But what is this game? For football fans, and I want to talk about it from a television perspective first. For football fans, television is obviously the way you watch football. Football is overwhelmingly the most popular thing on television. Overwhelmingly. It is the number one show on TV. There is nothing that even competes with it. Sometimes maybe an Oscars, a random event, a random news thing happens, But on average, the number one way to make money on television is football. Okay? More people watch the Pro Bowl than watch the NBA Finals. And on Saturday, according to Nielsen, I'm using that bad data again, but hey, like I said, everybody has to use it, but I'm always going to say it's bad. 2.1 million people watched a big NBA game that was on, right? I don't remember what it was. It was a huge game. I'm not into NBA, but I know it was a huge game. 2.5 million people watched the Duke game against, I don't remember who it was, Kansas or something. I should know. My wife watched it and I heard her screaming the whole time. She went to Duke. She loves Duke. I went to Rutgers. Okay. I'm from Jersey. We like the Jets and the Giants. But they, 2.3 million people watched the Association of American Football. So more people watched a game that had about, 20,000 people watching it live in the stands, but millions of people more watch this than the NBA game, which was packed with all the cameras and all the money. And that's why there is a new football league right now. And the thing about this league, and we had a little conversation about it on our Facebook page, you know, look up Daily DVR on the Facebook and you can join us. It's a safe place to talk about television amongst friends. And Andy and Brett and I were chatting a little bit about that. Some other people chimed in if they were interested. I think Tucker, how you doing, Tucker, may have made a commentary about it. I think he was watching too. And I watched almost all of these games. And we were chatting about what it was and why it's here. And this is what I'm going to say. This was really good. I was really, really surprised. They know what they are. The announcers have been thoroughly educated on the league, what it's about, why it exists. And why it exists, it is this. The NFL has long wanted to have something other than college football to train and bring up players. The NFL has always wanted a minor league. And the NFL has tried this in the past. They used to have the World Football League. When that dissolved, there was still European football that was sponsored by the NFL in much smaller areas. They didn't really push it. And you saw sometimes some players coming from it. I remember there was a guy from, you know, a German guy, right? Like, this is what the NFL lacks. When you look at the NBA seems to cull from everywhere to find its players, whereas the NFL strictly goes to college. And there is a widening gap between the skill level between college football and the NFL. Now, I've heard people say, I was just listening to an NBA, you know, I think it was Bill Simmons, and he said, you know, NBA, there's the biggest gap between college and the pros, man. And I'm just sitting there going, like, you are the only person who has ever said that. I've never heard anyone else say that. My entire life, everyone has always said the biggest gap is from college football to the NFL. Everyone's faster, they're bigger. 1% of college football players make it into the NFL. That's what you're talking about. Look, there's no college football player that had a breakout freshman year or high school year and then went to the NFL, okay? So that happens in the NBA all the time. That is never going to happen in the NFL. You cannot be 17, 18 years old and be prepared for what the NFL is. It's impossible. You can do that in the NBA. Some NBA people might disagree with me, but I don't know what Bill Simmons was talking about. I love you, Bill, but you're wrong. Because every football player tells you this, that it is a crushing difference between how the NFL game is played and how the college football game is played. And when you watch college football, as a football fan like me, I can barely watch it because it's just not up to par. You know, half of these kids really can't play that well. They're not, it's just not for me. I know people who come from areas who grew up with college. It has a different meaning, right? And that type of play means something different to you. But And that, not that college football doesn't get great ratings, it does. But this Association of American Football is looking to be all those best people from college. They're good enough to make it to the NFL, but they weren't good enough to stay. So they're still better than all the other college people. Trust me, any one of these teams could have probably beat Clemson. I know people are saying, oh, that's crazy. I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. I think that you probably had four or five players on that Clemson team that are going to play more than 3 years in the NFL. Maybe four or five. Maybe it's only going to be two. The average length of a player in the NFL is 3 years. So there's a lot of people who still want to play the game. And what this is setting itself up as is a training ground for the NFL. Now, supposedly the NFL is not involved in it. But kind of strange, right? All of a sudden it's on the NFL Network and they're talking about it. They're being, I think that they are testing it out. They don't want to put the full weight behind it. You look at the people who are involved, and Charlie Ebersol, now his father, Dick Ebersol, was also involved, I believe, in founding the XFL, the original XFL. But he is well known in the TV industry, and he's worked with people before. He even did a show called NFL Characters Unite. Okay. Bill Polian, obviously, NFL analyst, and also he was a vice chairman for the Colts from 1998 to 2011, and a lot longer career than that. The NFL stacked this. All the announcers are former NFL players or have association with the NFL in some way. Mike Singletary is one of the coaches, of course, his famous Chicago Bear. And all they talked about, and this is what I want to talk about the TV thing, is they did a fantastic job of explaining to you over and over and over and over again who these players were, that they're trying to get their shot in the NFL. Now, how are they going to base a whole thing around it if there wasn't a chance that they could make it to the NFL, that the NFL wasn't watching? Of course they are. They just kind of launched this. And in today's world, this is very interesting because you're used to so much, like, you know, 18 Captain Marvel trailers before it actually drops. There was nothing like this. I mean, guys, I do a daily podcast on TV. I didn't even realize it was actually going to premiere. And it did. And it's fantastic. The football was better than college, not as good as the NFL. It was like watching, oh, I don't know, maybe last year the Browns play the Bucks or something, you know, or like something like that. It wasn't great. There were some awesome plays. There's differences. They don't have a kickoff. They're using it as a way to test things for the NFL. You have to go for a two-point conversion. You can only rush five players, which is a good way of lessening those hitting the quarterback penalties by doing it in a way that people don't really actively notice. You're not slowing down the game. You're slightly tweaking it to try to head off more people getting to the quarterback, which should present more offense, which is what they want because that brings more people in to watch it and they can make more commercial money. But that didn't really work out because offense is actually harder than defense. As people in the NFL know, it's harder to score a touchdown than it is to prevent someone from scoring it. And in this respect, they didn't really succeed there. There were two games where there was a good score. A couple of the games were like 6-6 at half. But overall, I recognize some players. My New York Jets, hey, a quarter of the league. Actually, that's not even true, okay? Three teams are starting former New York Jet quarterbacks. Hackenberg, Sims, and I can't remember the other dude who was on the Jets developmental squad. But he did great, too. So it's fun. You recognize the people. The broadcast had some problems. They had some audio issues. They don't have enough cameras. When there's a penalty, you go to the booth and the ref is on camera looking at it and you get to see him and he talks, hey man, can we get another angle on this? And every time it was like this, do we have another angle? Cause they only had like three cameras. not including the Sky camera, which was sponsored by Wheels Up, which I bet a lot of people, speaking of commercials, Wheels Up is basically a private jet company. Like, I guess they thought they were going to get a pretty good audience for this. There weren't a lot of commercial breaks because they didn't sell a lot of commercials. I think that CBS, Turner, NFL Network are taking a cut on this on purpose to give it a shot. There were so few commercial breaks during these games that it felt to me like they didn't even try to sell commercials. On even the local level, there were not any local break-ins either. So this thing, I think, is going to last. And I think this is kind of like an NFL, like the NBA C-League. This is going to be something interesting, and it's going to be fun. My wife got upset, and she said, please, I thought football was over. I said, honey, I promise you, I'll DVR these games. But overall, the football experience is very close to the NFL. Now, the pregame was good. They have a female broadcaster who was freaking awesome. She was like, I was like taken aback. I was like, why have I never seen her before? She just was like, bam. I felt like she had been doing the job for weeks already. And then they had like Kurt Warner, who's okay. Kurt Warner's okay. For some reason, Kurt Warner has such cachet. Is he like one of the great, I mean, like he was good for a couple of years. It's Kurt Warner. You know what I mean? Like he was good, right? What is it? I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people have different opinions of players, like he's NFL royalty, or I guess he just carries himself that way, but, or they kind of treated him that way because they want to say, oh, we have Kurt Warner. But the halftime show was obviously in a green screen studio, and it was okay. I would say for the halftime show, they got to spice it up. I like the way that they concentrated on the game, okay? I was expecting a halftime show where they were going to be like, meet the players of the AAF, and we're going to have to hear about how hard they try to get it. They didn't do that. They were talking about the games a lot, the events that happened. They concentrated on it. Now, this is headquartered out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so I'm going to tell A. Hustler he should be working for them. But if you're listening, A. Hustler, I'm going to call you today and tell you you should be working for them because A. Hustler knows more about football than anybody I know. This is, though, exciting to me. It was fun to watch. They do need to add at least two additional cameras, which you could tell from, like I said, when they were doing the reviews. The experimentation that they're doing, they're keeping the Skycam behind the quarterback more, which I love. They could do more experimentation as far as I'm concerned with that, but they did good for a first broadcast. I was very impressed. They didn't try too hard, and they didn't seem like they didn't know what they were doing. And it's obvious to me that the NFL is masking their involvement in this league. There is no way that this thing is on CBS and the NFL Network, and everybody involved is in the NFL, but the NFL claims we have no financial involvement in this league. And come on, we know the NFL is like not exactly one of the greatest run organizations in the world, but everybody, when you look at their executives, oh, who's the head of player relations? Troy Polamalu. Oh, who's the player relations executive? Oh, it's Hines Ward. Who's the member of player engagement's board of advisors? Oh, it's Justin Tuck. This is all NFL people, you know, and it's really good. Now the reviews were kind of mixed to positive, but the overtime thing hasn't been played yet. They're supposed to do kind of like a college type where they each get the ball, and it seems a little gimmicky. That didn't happen. But the other rule changes were awesome. There's no reason you need a point after touchdown anymore. The NFL should get rid of it next year. It should always be a two-point conversion. I love it. It's more in the spirit of the game. Eliminating the kickoff, I don't like it, but you still have punts. You get that excitement with punts, and plus you don't get two people starting at go and 11 men smacking each other. That doesn't happen with punts. Right, you have one man, and people are blocking along the way, so they're buffered. the rules, and they worked on TV too. The two-point conversion made it much more exciting. As soon as they scored a touchdown, I did not fast forward to through the commercial. I waited to watch it. So it did good in ratings. It drew, like I said, more viewers than the big NBA game on ABC. But it didn't do as well as the NFL does. So we're going to see what happens. But so far, my TV review of this league is thumbs up, thumbs up. I think this is worth watching. And if you're a football fan, you know, I'm not saying, you know, go out and buy a jersey, but DVR a game and check it out. It's better than college football. I mean, and I don't want to offend because I know people are rabid about college football, and that has more to do with an association with their alma mater, the town they grew up in. But, you know, objectively looking at a college football game and an NFL game, there's just no comparison. So these college games, you just never know what you're going to get. And look at the font, look what we got last time. You know, it just wasn't anything. And the NFL, even if the score is different, you can see the level of play from down to down. And these are good players. A lot of these people I recognized, and they played pretty good. Some of them were washed up. Some of them never got a chance. And if some of them, I'll tell you what the big deal for this league is going to be. Do any of these players break out and get signed to an NFL team next year? You know, they want to have that problem that they're replacing players. So we'll see. All right. This was a fun show today. A little off the cuff. I got to talk about two big things, but I didn't really talk about the Grammys. I'm too old to talk about the Grammys. Okay. It was a good show, I guess. It's younger people liked it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I was trying to enjoy Here Comes Again. I love that song. I grew up on Dolly Parton, okay? This is what my mom raised me. I grew up on all these great female singers, Linda Ronstadt, and then people like Peter Allen, Barry Manilow. I love Dolly Parton. I don't know why Katy Perry's so angry. Why does she have to be so angry? Like, the one girl started singing, and she's like, Here He Comes Again. Like, she's got this big hair. It looked like a wig. I don't know what was going on. I thought she was trying to look like Dolly Parton with that hair. But I guess that's her hair. Then here comes, and it's like the exact opposite, Katy Perry, the short hair, which Katy Perry's beautiful. She's got such a voice on her. But it's like, calm down, Katy. Okay? Calm down. And she always has to, like, do things like that thing where she touches the microphone with her hand. I hate when people do that. That's why I'm not talking about the Grammys, people. Was it a good show? Yes. That Cardi B thing was crazy. I mean, it was cool, you know? But then it was like, I'll tell you what. There's only one I wanted to tune in to see Donald Glover. I'm not going to call him Childish Gambino. I wanted to tune in to see Donald Glover. And to me, that commercial where he dances with himself, I love the way Donald Glover looks and dances and presents himself. I think that guy is so creative, and you can feel it that he's real. You know what I mean? Like, he just creates. He's eccentric and weird. And I was looking forward to seeing him. I'm too old, people. I'm 44. My man, Philip Bump from the Washington Post had a great thing. He said, when you outgrow an award show, you outgrow the Grammys at 20. Okay, right? You outgrow the Oscars at 60 or something. And I was like, dude, you're right. I outgrew the Grammys a long time ago because my wife said to me, you're saying that now. What did they say when Nirvana was on, right? And I loved it. So who am I? That's why I'm not talking about the Grammys. All right, I got to go pick up my kid. Y'all rock. Cufflinks.com. Do it all. See you tomorrow. Actually, going to record with Heath, True Detective, on Wednesday. Peace out.